shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day.
Coming a day when no heartache shall come and no more clouds in the sky and no more tears to fill our eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore.
When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day.
Oh, when I look,
upon that face, on his face, the one who saved me by his grace.
What a day, what a day.
And when he takes me by the hand,
put those hands up and love on him. What a day that's going to be. Hallelujah.
What a day.
What a day.
Glorious day.
I want to sing on and on, but we must move on here. What a joy. What a joy to bring you the broadcast today. We got a great broadcast. I'm excited about it. Welcome, radio. Welcome, internet. Welcome, Facebook, I'm sorry. Welcome to all of you. What an audience. What an audience we have. I'm excited about every one of you. I am just delighted you're part of us. And today, look at that name on your screen, right above my head. Antichrist, oneness, rejects the Father. Can you imagine anybody that would reject the Father? Reject the Father? I could never reject my Father. He died when I was 17, committed suicide. I've missed him every day of my life. I've missed my daddy, my father. Many, many years ago, about 66 years ago now, that my dad passed. You see, a father is so important. What would society be without fathers? What is the role of fathers? Do you understand? Every child has to be begotten. Every child has to be begotten by another adult or another person. Cannot be the same person, has to be another person. And so the father gave us his son. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, believeth on him, should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. There is nothing in the Christian faith greater than the two, Father and Son, the Father and his Son, the Son of God, the great Heavenly Father who gave us the Son of God. What a picture. It is beautiful. Now, one thing I've just learned about the Antichrist is he hates the Father. He blasphemes the Father. He curses at the Father. He has a despite for the Father. And I've never seen that till the Holy Spirit brought me that revelation this week. In the book of Revelation, I will read it to you. It's very plain that the Father is rejected by the Antichrist. And the Bible says, and this is kind of overwhelming to me, let me read this to you first. This is in 1 John chapter 2, let me see here, chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now that's overwhelming. He is Antichrist. So I realized all of a sudden that the perfect image of the coming Antichrist is the oneness religion that denies the Father. I mean, that breaks my heart, and I hope it breaks yours. I hope it makes you start praying for these wonderful group of people who have got themselves caught up in a oneness religion. Jesus only is the real term for it, the Jesus only religion. It is a Antichrist spirit. It is an Antichrist preparation, and it's overwhelming to understand that, and it says it clearly. Who is the Antichrist? But he that denieth the Son, and he that denieth the Father. He that denieth the Son, and he that denieth the Father. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. For he that acknowledges the Son, hath the Father. So he that acknowledges the Son has also the Father. He that rejects the Son rejects the Father. He that rejects the Father actually rejects the Son and his position. So who is the Antichrist but he that denieth the Son and the Father? And don't ever forget that. Now, in the book of Revelation chapter 13, we have a picture of the Antichrist. This is an ugly picture, and it's not enjoyable to read, but I want you to hear it, and I want you to understand that we're living in the day when the Antichrist is everywhere. Now, the person of the Antichrist is not here yet, but the spirit of the Antichrist, in preparation for his appearing, is even everywhere. The church world is full of all kinds of anti-Bible ideas, anti-Bible theologies, and anti-Bible conduct, and anti-Bible thinking. But the only truth is the truth in the Bible. Jesus said, "Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." Every word that comes from the Father, every word that is out of the Father's great wisdom. Oh, my friend, the Father, love the Father. Lately, I have fallen in love with my Heavenly Father with a deeper emotion than I've ever felt. And it's just gripped me. He says in the Bible, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. Now, of course, we should love Jesus equally. Jesus is the Redeemer. The Father so loved the world, he gave his Son. We're not elevating one above the other. We're putting them on the same level, the Father and his Son, the great God the Father and the great God the Son. And to understand that the Antichrist is he that hates the Father. Now, let's go to the Bible. Get your book of Revelation and turn with me, and let's read some breathtaking information. Would you do it with me? I want us to hear this. Because I'm telling you, if you're part of the crowd that's rejected the Father as an individual person who gave the Son to us, who beget his only begotten Son, you can't begot if you don't have the capacity to beget. And so the Father beget the Son. The Son is the only begotten of the Father. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns the ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Listen, he's a blasphemer. If there's anything that characterizes the Antichrist, is he blasphemes. He wants to blaspheme everything that has to do with God. And see, he's the Antichrist. The Bible calls him that. He's come to replace the Christ. He's come to be a new Christ, and he is a new Christ that rejects the Father, and you will see that in a moment. And the beast, when I saw, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like unto a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seed and his authority. And I saw one of the heads as it was wounded to death. And his head, deadly wound was healed. His deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after him. Now listen to me. And they worshiped the dragon. The dragon, that's the devil, which gave power unto the beast. That's the Antichrist. And they worshiped the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now listen, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God the Father. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, not Jesus. But God is very clear throughout the book of Revelation that the Son is named 20 sometimes and the Father 30 sometimes. And in every case, they are distinct persons and their relationship with each other is remarkable. Go to Revelation chapter 5. And what do you see? You see a book in the hand of the Father. And this book is a record deed of this earth. It's a remarkable book. Excuse me. It's a remarkable book. And nobody was able to approach the Father and take the book until there was a lamb as though he had been slain, the Son of the living God. And he had the authority to approach the Father. And the Father handed him the book of the fullness of all the judgments that would come, what would come in the book of Revelation. And the Son, not the Father, was given the responsibility to open that book. So here's the Father with a book in his hand. No one was worthy to take the book until it came to Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Lamb of God forever. And he approaches the Father, and he takes the book from the Father, and in chapter 6, he begins to open that book. Now, that is a picture of God the Father and God the Son preparing the final moments before the 7-year tribulation period begins upon this earth. Now, that's a picture that you can hardly ignore. How can you ignore that if you believe in the rapture and what is going to follow the rapture? So, and he opened his mouth to blaspheme against God. Open his mouth to blaspheme against God. To blaspheme his name, the name of God, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Now, when I read that this week, it really did overwhelm me. Because I suddenly realized that the devil, the Antichrist, hates the Father. He hates the Father because the Father is the one who threw him out of heaven. Did you know that? The Father is the person who threw the devil out of heaven. Jesus said it plain. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Jesus didn't throw him out. The Father threw him out. And the devil has hated the Father ever since the Father threw him out of heaven. Now, you begin to see a picture here developing that's really overwhelming. It's breathtaking. And you know, I don't know why somebody hasn't said before that this Antichrist here in Revelation 13 is seen in his venom against the Father, and everybody now that's in the Father's kingdom, everybody now that's in heaven, and he blasphemes at God. He throws slander toward heaven to try to blaspheme the great God Jehovah. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindred and tongue and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb. In the book of the Lamb. Notice the distinction now between God and the Lamb. Jesus is called the Lamb. God is called God throughout the book of Revelation. And their names are distinct in every case. Sit down and read the book of Revelation and just note and name every time that the Bible mentions God the Father. It may be God, it may be the Father, but the different ways he will be addressed. Every time, make a note of that and even count them, and then make a note of every time the Lamb of God is named and mentioned in the Bible. And you'll see the two together nearly 60 times, and each time they're distinctly either the Father or distinctly either the Son. They've never seen as they were somehow merged together and only one. They are seen over and over as personalities, each individual personality. And here it is. He's blaspheming the Father in heaven. He's blaspheming the Lord Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. If any man hath ears to hear, boy, can I read this to all of you? If any of you got ears to hear, he says, hear. This is the verse 8. If any of you, I'm sorry, verse 9. If any of you have got ears to hear, listen. Listen, as the devil, the Antichrist, not the devil, but the Antichrist, whom the devil has given power, is blaspheming the Father. I mean, he is blaspheming God the Father. He's determined to throw him out of heaven. He wants to take over from him. But thank God the victory has already been won in Jesus Christ. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword will be killed with the sword. Here are the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he goes on to reveal the second beast. The first is the Antichrist. The second is the anti-spirit, or the false spirit, or the false anointing, whatever you want to call it. And so here you see the Antichrist hates the Father, and he is cursing the Father. He is blaspheming the Father. If that don't open the eyes in the hearts of my wonderful friends who happen to be in the oneness faith, I pray it will. I'm telling you, get out of that false faith that denies the Father. It was God the Father who gave the Son. Do you hear me? It was God the Father who gave the Son. Now, what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the Father, and then talk a little bit about the Son, and then try to help all of you see the distinctions throughout the book of Revelation, and so you can then understand that your responsibility is to love the Lord God, your Father, and to love His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He gave. I can give you so many scriptures with the distinction of the Father and the Son. It's almost overwhelming. It seems to me how anybody could not grasp this. I do not understand. Open your heart to the revelations of God. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit dealing with you on the inside, and hear what saith God. Now, remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Go with me now to that garden, that olive garden where Jesus would resort to pray at night. And he's gone there on this given night, and he's praying. He's crying out to the Father. It's a very crucial moment. It's right before he's going to be crucified. His heart is bleeding from within with the passion of the world upon his heart. His mind is overwhelmed with what he's about to suffer. And he actually says, Father, if it be willing, take this cup from me. If thou be willing, take this cup from me. Take this cup from me. But notice what Jesus says, but not my will, but thine be done. Now here's the will of the Father that Jesus is facing, and here's the will of the Son who is on his face before the Father, and the Son is saying to the Father, if thou be willing, take this cup from me. But if thou art not willing, if thou cannot be willing, I am willing to take the cup as you gave it. So not my will, his words now, the words of Jesus, will, W-I-L-L. Now, you study that word will. There is no possibility of there being an individual person without a will. And there's no possibility of there being a will without an individual person. It's as clear as a bell. As clear as it can be. So, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that breathtaking? Jesus was suffering incredible pain, incredible grief. It was a hellish moment. The world was coming at him like a Mack truck. I mean, he was facing the darkest moments of human history when the Son of God, the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, was about to face the Father's wrath. Now, the Father wasn't angry with Christ. The Father's wrath was against sin. And somebody had to pay the cost of sin. Somebody had to die on a cross. And there had to be more than a man. They had to be divine. They had to have divine blood. They had to be kin to the Father. And Jesus was the first of the kin to the Father. And the only one kin to the Father. The only begotten Son. And the Father gave that Son. And now he's facing that horrible death. Now, you begin to study about Jesus in the Bible, and it is such a marvelous picture. I love to read the book of Revelation, the first chapter. You can get this booklet that goes with this sermon today. I'm sorry, this open Bible broadcast. The Antichrist Jesus is dominant against the Father. The Antichrist Jesus, that's the title of this booklet. The Antichrist Jesus. That's the Jesus who's the Antichrist. He's a false Jesus, but he's an Antichrist, and he's dominant against the Father. And you see that in the writings of the book of Revelation. I've never seen it before, but thank God I saw it this week, because God wanted me to share it with you and help those wonderful people who are involved in this false idea of the oneness of the Jesus only theology. It's false. It's bad. It's the Antichrist's last movement within a religious circles. It is the Antichrist trying his best to destroy the Father even before Jesus and the rapture occurs. The Antichrist is trying to destroy the Father. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And you watch my word. If you're here for the 7-year tribulation period, brother, if you are religious of any degree, you'll be religious in the sense of this oneness idea of the Antichrist religion, because it is a religion that is far removed from the Holy Bible. Now, the words of the book of Revelation about Jesus are really overwhelming. Could I read you all the words that the book of Revelation lists in its glorious first chapter, just one chapter? Then you see them over and over through the other chapters. But in the first chapter, he's called the faithful witness, the faithful martyr, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, that loved us. That took himself, that loved us, I'm sorry, that's good enough, says that loved us, washed us from our sins, his word, his own blood, he cometh with clouds, every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him, all kindred shall wail because of him. He's the Amen, he's I Am, he is Alpha, he's Omega, he's the beginning, he's the end, he's the first and the last, hallelujah, he's the Lord. It's over and over, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. I mean, these are just terms used to describe the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, and they're overwhelming. They're overwhelming, and you can find the same thing with God. You find just one term after the other, and the Father and the Son are so distinct in the book of Revelation. It is so clear that they are two individual beings that are part of one united Trinity, one united Trinity with the Holy Spirit, and it is one most beautiful picture. It is one most beautiful picture. I love to read the book of Revelation because it is so full of these marvelous things, these incredible sayings, these great sayings. Now, in case you joined us, I want to go back to 1 John and once again read you this breathtaking scripture, which is so important. It says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same have not the Father. But he that acknowledges him, the Son, hath the Father. Now I must read this. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now that's in 1 John chapter 2 and 22, if you want to go read it. 1 John 2 and 22. Who is a liar? But he that denieth the Son, that the Son is indeed the Son of God the Father. He is an Antichrist, it goes on to say, who denieth the Father and the Son. So don't ever deny the Father again, okay? Don't let anybody make you say that. Be careful with it. While you work your way out, be careful with it. And let me tell you something to do. This will change everything about you, and you won't even need my help or any other preacher's help. Read the book of St. John on your knees. Take the book of St. John, put all your theology over here and all everybody else's theology over there, and read the book of John and say, Father, I want to see Jesus. I want to know the distinction of the Father and the Son in this great book of St. John. And I promise you, before you read it three times, say, just keep reading it one time, two times, three times. Don't be in a hurry. Read it slow. I'll never forget doing this. When I was a pastor at Rockwell, North Carolina in 1962 and 1963. Can you realize that? How long ago that was? And it changed my life, and I've never been able to forget to love the Father and the Son since that marvelous occasion. Now, if you have a question or you have a comment, I am taking calls today. I've got the lines open here for you to call, 704-391-0588. I would love to talk to you about this whole business of the Antichrist and the oneness religion and their similarity, both denying the Father. Both denying the Father. The Father must not be denied in your thinking. He gave his only begotten Son. And remember, you can't even get a prayer answered if you don't understand the distinction of the Father and the Son. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. Jesus said it as plain as it can be, he was teaching his disciples how to pray. Ask my Father anything in my name and he'll do it. Ask my Father anything in my name and he'll do it. When you get on your knees and you go to pray unto the Father, you'll ever pray to Jesus separate from the Father. You can say to the Father and the Son. But when you pray distinctly asking for answer to prayer, you pray to the Father. And you always pray in Jesus' name. You never pray in any other name. There's none other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. There's none other name that offers you the sacrifice of blood by which your sins can be forgiven. Jesus is the fullness. Jesus is the wonderful fullness. So remember now very much that the Antichrist hates the Father. And here we see him blaspheming the Father, casting his blasphemy up into the heavens against the Father. Man, that is powerful stuff. That's wonderful truth. The Bible is full of that kind of truth. I get amazed when I go to study in the Bible how much truth there is. Let's go to, we've already read John 3:16. For God so loved the world. But let's go to Isaiah 53. I want you to look at that. That's in the Old Testament, as most of you Bible conscious people would certainly know. But in Isaiah 53, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified, a prophecy, of course, because Isaiah lived many years before the death of the Son of God. But he tells us some incredible things about the Father and the Son that makes it so clear of the Trinity view, of the distinction between the two individuals. Yet it pleased the Lord. This is Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Father. That word Lord is a rendering of God Jehovah, the rendering of the great heavenly Father. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. This is God putting Jesus to grief. This is God the Father pleased to crucify his Son, pleased to put his Son to grief. Listen now, this is powerful. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, God made his son, Jesus, an offering for sin. The Heavenly Father, who gave his son, according to John 3:16, was pleased to put his son to death, that by putting his son to death, he would redeem me and you, you and I. We are redeemed because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever let that slip out of your hands and away from your mind, that God the Father gave his son. Oh, I love it. Let me read it again. It hath pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. This is Isaiah prophesying how God the Father would bruise his son, how God the Father would put his son to grief. He wasn't doing that because he was angry at him. He was doing it because of sin. And the only way sin could be forever redeemed and forever given, the only way the sinner could come up there and be part of the heavenly future and be part of the great promises of the rapture and a part of the great kingdom on this earth, is they had to be redeemed. Man had to be redeemed. And the only thing that would redeem the human family was a person totally kin to God the Father, with the same blood, divine blood, coursing through their veins. And so God the Father, by the Holy Ghost, impregnated Mary, the Virgin, and divine blood began to course through his veins. Oh, friend, I'm here to tell you, that divine blood was a rendering from the Father himself. Now, the Father doesn't have blood in his being, because he's forever divine. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. No need of human blood. But the Holy Ghost designed, devised blood by the Father's command that would birth the Son of God of the Virgin Mary. And it was divine blood. It was blood capable, fully capable of redeeming the darkest sinner that ever walked on the face of God's earth. What divine blood. So here it is, very plain, Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. God was making Jesus an offering for sin. God was making Jesus an offering for sin. Now let me ask you something. While God the Father is making his son an offering from sin, and remember, while the son was hanging on that cross, there was a voice that sounded from heaven. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Remember that? Remember that happened when he was born, when John the Baptist was baptized in Jesus. Let me get it straight here. When John the Baptist was baptized in Jesus in the river of Jordan, the Holy Ghost descended in the form of a dove and lit upon him. And the Father spoke out of the clouds of heaven. I mean, God's up there in heaven saying to God who's been crucified, to the God who came down like a dove upon him, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are three in unity. They are three in perfect unity, but distinct persons. God is a being. Jesus is a being. The Holy Ghost is a being. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. A Trinity revealed as God. Oh, what a picture. What a picture. And so while Jesus is being crucified, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and the Holy Ghost echoes out of the heavens. I mean, cast his voice down. They heard him. They didn't see him, but they heard him. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Folks, how can anybody, only the Antichrist would come against these kind of truths. Only the Antichrist hates the idea of the Father. Only the Antichrist within the realm of the darkest things of this universe hates this darkness. You got to understand, God cast the devil out of heaven, and Jesus saw him fall. Jesus saw him fall, and Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Oh, the Bible is so full of this. I would say there's probably 10,000 times in the Bible that you see a distinction of the Father and the Son. It's just, it's all through the scripture. Right in the beginning, God the Father spoke and said, let us make man. Let us, U.S., let us make man after our image, in our likeness. God said those words, and they are spoken and written in the book of Genesis. Very plain, very clear. I mean, what can you think of? And you can go all the way through the Bible now and see the same picture as it develops. And then you see Jesus saying, and the Bible saying that Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, making intercession for us. To whom is he interceding? Is he interceding to himself? How foolish that would be. He wouldn't need to intercede to himself. He could just do it if he was in charge of doing it. But the Father is being interceded to for us by Jesus, the only begotten Son. So the Bible says over and over that Christ is our high priest at the right hand of God the Father. Hallelujah. And the picture is breathtakingly beautiful. And so the devil is angry. And the devil is out to destroy the great God the Father. And the devil is doing everything today to reduce the Father. And to make the presence and the beauty of the Father less powerful and less overwhelming and less marvelous. And I'm here to tell him he's wrong, and to tell you, you must love your Father who gave for you his only begotten Son, that Son could take your place on the tree and die in your stead, and the Father could redeem you. So the Bible is so full of this, and it's wonderful. You have a question? Pick up your phone and call me. I can answer you right now. I'll be quick on it. And we'll talk about it, and then we'll give chances for others to call. So grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. There's the number for you. Call it quickly. You can also send a request for material to jrc@paulcreek.org. We'll be glad to bless you. You can call the same number on Monday and order anything you'd like to have, 704-391-0588. I don't take addresses and all during the broadcast, but you can call on Monday, same number. We have two secretaries now, one part-time, one full-time, getting our work all caught up and done. If you've been a little late in getting a receipt, it's on the way in the next days. And so everything is just okay. God is putting it all together. Now, while you're calling, let me tell you what I'm going to preach on tomorrow. I'm quite excited about preaching tomorrow. In fact, I love preaching anytime. You already know that. I love to preach this glorious word. But tomorrow, I want to preach on when strangers come home. When strangers come home. I like that. When strangers come home. When you study the Bible, you see it's always a beautiful picture when someone comes to God. When someone comes to Christ. And chapter 3 is a marvelous picture. People that used to be strangers and foreigners are now fellow citizens and of the household of God. Can you imagine being anything better than being part of the household of God? I live every day for it. I live every day for you to know it and for you to have it and for you to enjoy it because it's just that wonderful. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 3 and verse 22. I think it's good to read these great things because they really are overwhelming. And the Bible is just full of it. The Bible is just full of it. 3 and 22, I believe that's right here. Luke 3 and 22. 3 and 22. Oh, I tell you, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Listen now. And a voice came from heaven. And a voice came from heaven saying, which said, thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. Now, God spoke at this time to his Son. I think that's marvelous. Wasn't speaking to the crowd. Wasn't speaking to John the Baptist, who was doing the baptizing. He was speaking to his own son who was baptized by John the Baptist in the river of Jordan. And the Father said to him, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now, you know, I don't think the subject kind of rested like it just did, that he's not talking to the crowd listening. He's talking to his only son. God is in heaven, and he's talking to his son who is being baptized by John the Baptist in the river of Jordan. And God is saying to him, in thee I am well pleased. Now, you can't have a picture like that and then deny the Father. How could you ever deny the Father? He is watching his son as he is being baptized by John the Baptist. And the Spirit has been sent down to rest upon him and to anoint him now for the ministry which he's going to perform. From this hour, Jesus goes to pray in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And he comes out of the wilderness, the Bible says, in the power of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost mightily upon him. And the Bible then tells us that the Father speaks to him to encourage him and says, Thou art my. Notice the Holy Ghost says, My beloved Son. Thou art my beloved Son. Now, friend, I don't know. I'm overwhelmed. Thou art my begotten son. Doesn't say beloved son. Says begotten son. That means the Father had begot him. He had been birthed. He had been placed in the womb of Mary by the seed of the divine from the Holy Father. And so he is to be born now of the Virgin Mary without sin. Without sin, absolutely sinless, no Adam sin. He's divine. The blood is divine. His whole life is divine. And he's going to die on the cross. And his death on the cross is going to strip the devil of any power he's ever had. Absolutely strip him and absolutely redeem anybody that will let Jesus save him and make a new creature out of him. I'm bringing you material that I hope will help you understand that God the Father is a wonderful, wonderful God, a wonderful Father. He's my Father. I love him. I serve him. I go to him in prayer in the name of his Son. I go to him. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now there stood Jesus with his 12 disciples, and they want to know how to pray. And he says, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. I mean, Jesus would have been an infidel. I mean, he would have been absolutely ignorant to say to his Father, of his Father to his disciples, my Father which art in heaven. That's plain. That's as simple as the nose on your face. You can't get around it, and you can't get over it, and you can't get under it. It's too real, brother. It's just too real. And so you got this picture over and over in the Bible. Over and over. I love the Lord's Prayer. I love that. Say and pray, Our Father which art in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. So the Father was in heaven. Jesus was being baptized. And on the picture goes. And also when he appeared on the Mount of Ascension. It was later the Mount of Ascension. But when he appeared on the Mount with the disciples and he was exalted in front of them, and they saw him as a shining of the sunlight. Again, the Bible says that God spoke out of the heavens and said, This is my beloved Son. I mean, that happened three times when he was crucified, when he was being baptized, when he was being exalted, and when he was being crucified. Friend, Jesus is the Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. And it is absolutely horrible to even think of denying the distinction of the Father and the Son. The Son sits at the Father's right hand right now and intercedes to the Father. And you know something else? It's exciting. When you finish your course and you go to heaven, and you've done the will of God, and you've honored Christ, and you brought glory to His name. Did you know that Jesus will take you to the Father, and He will confess to the Father that you are His disciple? You're his child. Did you know that? The Lord Jesus will confess me and anybody out there who truly follows the Lord. He'll confess you to the Father on that blessed day in the future when all is reconciled together. Oh, my friends, hear me now. I want to take you back to Revelation. I know a lot of people always join in the middle of a broadcast. I wish everybody listened to the whole, but they don't. But let's go to Revelation. And I want to take you again to Revelation chapter 13. And I want to spend a little time there. Again, I open the lines. Would you like to call? 704-391-0588. I've got the number there. I really want to give you an opportunity to call me if you would, because I love to answer questions. I enjoy getting involved in a discussion of this nature. We did this Wednesday night, and it was really exciting. It really was very powerful. You can't read this Bible and not see the Father and the Son. I mean, it's just everywhere you look. It's everywhere you look. But I love this when I come to understand how much the Antichrist can be identified as one that hates the Father and also hates the Son, because he's going to replace the Son, but he's going to eliminate the Father. That's the whole purpose of the Antichrist, is to rule the world himself. He wants to be the kingpin. He wants to be the ultimate. He wants to take the place of the whole beauty of the Godhead. And he's full of falseness and full of calamity. Let me read this again. And they worship the dragon. They worship the devil, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, this is the tribulation period. This is when the rapture has taken place and the saints of God have gone to heaven. And all hell is turned loose on this earth. That happens in chapter 6 as Jesus begins to open the sealed book that the Father had in his possession and could not give it to anyone until Jesus appeared in front of him, and he gave it to Jesus. And the crowd began to worship and exclaim the glory of the Father and the Son. And Revelation is so full of this. Probably any book in the Bible that would convince anybody out there of the triune Godhead, the Trinity of God, it would probably be the book of Revelation. The book of John is equally great, and Jesus is the divine Son all through the book of Revelation. And of course, John, and it was John who declared at the words of Jesus, the Father that gave his Son. Oh, the great statement of the whole Bible: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I hope nobody would deny a verse of scripture like that. I hope nobody could throw that to the wind and place some kind of premium on a religious idea that eliminates the distinction of the Father who gave his Son, that eliminates the beauty look at all these dark religions of the world. They're as empty as a gourd. They are so pitifully empty and pitifully nothing that we who know the Lord and know the Bible and know the beauty of the Father's gift of his Son and know the beauty of the cross and what Jesus accomplished, the religious characters of the world are just amazing to us. And how anybody could go after the Hindu gods or go after Allah, I go after any of these false gods anywhere on the face of the earth, and all the ideas that men have produced and proclaimed. Oh, Father, friends, I'm telling you, the Father is the only one of all gods that have ever been named that gave his Son. He proved his distinction by giving his Son to die on the cross for you. What a picture. What a picture. So here, and I read it again, and he, and this is the Antichrist, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Now you'll find in the book of Revelation, God's always distinct. Never, never, never is Jesus called God in the book of Revelation. He's called the Lamb of God. The Father is called God. And here the Antichrist opens his mouth against God and blasphemes God. The Bible says, and he opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name. Oh, he blasphemed the name of God and to blaspheme his people that dwell in heaven with him. And we'll be there at that point if we are raptured. If we're caught up in the raptured saints, we'll be one of those right there. What a picture. What a picture. Now, I want to go and take you to the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11 and 2. In Luke 11 and 2, I want to take you to the Lord's Prayer, and I want to spend a little bit of time there. And then I want to take you to Ephesians 3, where I'm going to preach tomorrow, and spend a little time there. And let's try to get these scriptures in our heart and get you ready. Now, I want you to understand this program is about the Antichrist and the oneness theology that both reject the Father. When you reject the Father, the Bible says you are Antichrist. He that rejects both the Father and the Son, 1 John 2:22, read that if you want to go back to it. I read it twice, but I want you, in case you've just joined us, to go read it, John 2:22, how the Antichrist rejects the Father and he rejects the Son. And they're distinctly said the Father and the Son. And you can't add that that connection, the Father and the Son, and then eliminate the distinction of two beings. That to do that is so anti-grammatical. I mean, it blows every law of truth completely out the window. You just can't do those kind of things. Now, the book of Luke, I want to go to that. I want you to see the picture so that there's no question. Nobody can deny it to you and try to change you 11 and two. Let's read this together. And he said unto them, when you say, our Father, when you pray, say. Now notice this, when you pray, say. He's telling his disciples this. This is not just something that's sounded out by someone else. This is something Jesus is actually saying directly to them. When you say, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus, the Son of God, is saying when we pray, when you pray, you say, our Father. That includes him in the prayer. He's praying it with you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, the Father is hallowed. Oh, I love to say that to him. I love a scripture. Before I read the rest of this, in Isaiah, you may want to read this. It's breathtaking. Isaiah 57, verse 15. And here's all the words. It's overwhelming to me. Thus saith he who dwells in a high and lofty place. Listen to that. Thus saith he who dwells in a high and lofty place, who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I am he that dwells in a high and holy place, and with him who is of a humble and contrite heart. Thus saith he that dwells in a lofty place, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Oh, who dwells in a high and holy place. Those four things that the Father says of himself in that great passage. Isaiah 65 verse 15. Go read that. Oh, I've made it a part of my life. I've made it a part of my daily joys and daily prayers and daily worship and daily obedience to the great God. And so it's beautiful to me. Now, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Jesus is saying, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. The Father has a will. And Jesus is teaching them, and he's saying, this is us praying, our Father, mine and yours, thy will be done in heaven as in earth, or in earth as in heaven. I like that. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, really, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight to say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. And he goes on to give this wonderful description of prayer. He even says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And he goes on to add to that, he that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. That's God the Father in heaven that Jesus is telling you to pray to. And he's telling you, Jesus is telling you, he has all of your needs in his hands. He has the answer for everything. If you seek him, you're going to find him. If you pray to him, he's going to respond to you. If you long after him, you're going to find him. I mean, that's what Jesus is saying. So the whole 11th chapter of the book of Luke is about praying to the Father. And Jesus is here on the earth with his disciples, and he's teaching them the Father who is in heaven, and here's how you pray to him. Oh, church, I hope I'm helping everybody out there. I hope you'll get these verses in your heart and mind and settle them and write them upon every avenue of your being and tell them everywhere you go and proclaim it to everybody you meet. Oh, our Savior is our Savior. We belong to him. He is ours. We are his. And what a joy it is to belong to him. So, please don't forget that wonderful verses. They are just overwhelming the church. Go when I get through here and read, if you would, the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11. Begins at verse 2. Luke 11, verse 2. And just read it and ask God to help you understand how absolutely powerful the truth of God the Father is when you see it in relation to the one who gave his only begotten Son. Who do you think kept the heavens when Jesus was in the womb of Mary for 9 months? Who do you think kept the heavens when Jesus was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, preaching unto the spirits in prison? There are so many places in the Bible where the devil wanted to take over this universe and would have grabbed any moment that Jesus was in the process of his death and the process of his even his birth and all of it. It just paints a picture of a father who gave his son. The father who gave his son. You really can't leave it. It's too beautiful. It's really too breathtaking. You can't forget it. It's wonderful. I could talk about it till literally the rest of my days. I'm going to be teaching truth. Now, I want to tell you something. Before I go to Ephesians 3, I want to tell you Acts 2 and 19. Acts 2 and 19 is about to happen. The Bible says there will be wonders in heaven above before the great and notable day of the Lord's come. Go read Acts chapter 2. Start with verse 17. Read 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. And read those verses and you'll have a picture of what is about to happen. I believe probably before Christmas, maybe even in less time than that, there's going to be wonders in the heavens above. God is fixing to manifest himself. God is about to reveal himself. You say, I don't believe you, Brother Chambers. Well, have I lied to you in 46 years I've been here? Have I ever told you anything didn't happen? Have I ever told you anything didn't happen? I'm not going to tell you nothing's going to happen because I'm going to tell you what this book says. And what this book says is going to happen as sure as the sun rose this morning. And the next thing that I think is going to get everybody's attention is wonders in the heavens above. And it's not going to glorify no man. It's not going to glorify me, this church, nobody else, and no other preacher. It's going to glorify the truth of the Bible. Here's what God is interested in right now is to make this Bible, again, the literal, absolute truth of his kingdom and his coming judgment. God wants this world to get the picture that this Bible has said what's going to happen, and it's going to happen exactly like God said it's going to happen. I don't care what you say. I don't care if you end the post-millennialism, if you end the post-trib rapture, a mid-trib, pre-wrath. There's so many theologies out there, it's hard to keep up with them. But the truth is in this Bible. And if you'll get in your Bible and quit trying to argue people out of their false doctrines, you're not going to do it. Just give them the truth. Give it to them over and over. That's what I've done today. I've showed you that the Antichrist hates the Father. He hates the Father. He blasphemes the Father. He cries out against the heavens against God on his throne, and God in the heavens, and you see it all through Revelation. Read Revelation this week. Everybody listening to me, read the book of Revelation this week, and keep a note of every time you see the presence of Jesus, and every time you see the Father, you'll see his throne over and over. You'll see his throne over and over. And every time they're distinct. There's not one place in Revelation that the Father and the Son are not two distinct individuals. Not a place. Not a place. Go read it for yourself. Don't argue with me. Go read it for yourself. I'm telling you, it's almost over, my friend. It's almost over, my friend. And the coming of the Lord is at the door. I'm telling you, the coming of the Lord is at the door. And I'm praying that God will so manifest himself to us that we'll see his glory as we've never seen it before. I'm crying out for you to turn to God and turn to your Bible and turn to the things of the Lord. And don't forget my sermon in the morning. I sure would like to have you here when I preach about when strangers come home. When strangers come home. Oh, what a day that's going to be. When strangers come home. The Bible makes it plain. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And it goes on. Beautiful. That's the book of Ephesians. Begin reading with chapter 17. That's Ephesians 3 and 17. And get ready for my sermon in the morning. Get ready to hear the word of the Lord. I'm dedicating a little baby in the morning. I love that. A little child. Her last name is written here in my material. But she's the granddaughter of Buck and Rose Lindsay, two of the greatest saints that's ever been in this church. I love you. You are special to us. We're here for your benefit and your spiritual progress. We want you to get ready with the coming of the Lord. Is at the door. Do you know how close the coming of the Lord is? I got a minute here. I want to tell you, the rapture could be any moment. There is nothing that's got to happen. What is about to happen, the wonders in the heavens above and the signs in the earth beneath, they could happen before the rapture, but they're distinctly going to happen before Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. That happened 7 years after the rapture. Let me tell you how close we are to the millennial reign. This is when Jesus reigns on this earth 1,000 years. We are as little or as close as 7 years. As soon as that rapture occurs, it'll be 7 years, and then Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom on this earth. We are facing some of the most wonderful, incredible, exciting, marvelous things that you can even imagine. This world is going to be a Garden of Eden from the North Pole to the South Pole. This whole world will be beautiful, and God's people are going to inherit it, and the wicked are going to be no more. You say, I'm going to live like I please. You're just wrong, preacher. I'm telling you, the Bible is right. Not me, but the Bible is pure. It's perfect. If you don't live for Christ, you will spend eternity in hell, my friend. There is no ifs, there's no ands, and I don't want that. God's not willing that any should perish. Did you know that? God is not willing that any should perish. He wants every last one of you to be converted. He really does. He wants every last one of you to be converted. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares for you. He cares for you. Listen.
You find he's not too busy.
He's not too busy.
He's passing by this moment. He's passing by this moment, your need. supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord.
Just reach out. Sing that line again.
Goes by. Reach out
and touch
the Lord
as he passes by.
As he passes by.
Hallelujah.
You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs he'll supply.
Reach out.
Just reach out.